So good to be with you all again this morning. Just going to move some of these things around so I don't make a mess. I remember hearing stories of the church many years ago where the front row would have water pistols and they would squirt the minister as he spoke and all things like that. Crazy, crazy things. My goodness me. What a great time of worship. You might want to turn me down a little bit. I'm bound to get louder. Not because I'm angry, just because I get excited. What a great time of worship this morning. I just turned my head slightly to the side so I could hear you. Because we are the body of Christ. And it's not about these guys up here, even though they do an amazing job. It's about us. We are the body of Christ. And as we lift praise and thanksgiving to God, the scripture says that he is enthroned in our praises. Not just your neighbors, not the person behind you or the guys up the front, but our praises. And God is here this morning. The Holy Spirit's doing stuff today. And so this morning, if you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to the book of Colossians? In Levin, we've spent the last 5 weeks going through the book of Colossians, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, a church that has really been under the pump with false teaching. Judaism's trying to make its way back into this Gentile church. And things aren't going too well for the believers. There's a bit of division stuff happening in the life of the church. And when I read Colossians, I just see the world in which we're living today. I just see all the stuff that's going around us today, and I just think, wow, God, you are so good that you would give us this word, you'd paint this picture for us thousands and thousands of years ago so that we can be equipped to follow Christ today. Amen?
Very good.
So if you've got your Bibles with you, Colossians chapter 3. I do apologize for my screen, for using the C word. You could replace the C word with sick, if you like. Christ and his church in a sick world. In an unwell world, in our world. So would you let me pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that it is indeed living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And Lord, as I minister today, Father, we also pray, Lord, for the church in Levin. Lord, we pray that as your word goes forth there, Lord, that it would achieve all that you have destined it to, as you speak through us here also today. Lord, would you guard my lips? Father, may you open our hearts and our minds to receive from you today. Lord, that we, your church, would be stronger and better because of it. In Jesus' wonderful name, everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Here we go. Colossians chapter 3. I'm really loud up here, by the way. Colossians chapter 3. I'm just loud anyway, possibly. It's the permanent ringing in my ears, maybe. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Where is Jesus Christ today? He is at the Father's right hand. We carry on and he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for us. He is praying for us. We who are the great surprise. Turn to your neighbor and say surprise. Surprise! Surprise. You and I are the great surprise of the church. We see, we read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. Paul writes and he says, "This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past." You are a secret. "But now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too." Praise the Lord. "And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." We are the surprise and we carry the great secret. That not only is God at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, but he dwells in us. Amen? Which tells me that Jesus is not removed from our pain or our suffering, but he is ever present. Jesus is not removed from our life. When bad things happen, he doesn't turn the other way. He is ever present. He is interceding for us on our behalf to God the Father. He is not removed from our life, our pain, our trials, or our suffering, but instead he is interceding for us. And as we go through pain and suffering and trials, we also partner with Christ in his love for the church. Amen? Colossians 1 verse 24. Paul writes and he says, "I am glad when I suffer for you in my body." In other words, I am glad when I suffer for the church in my body. "For I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church." Jesus intercedes on our behalf at the right hand of the Father, not removed from our suffering, but in the middle of it. Amen? Amen? Jesus continues to suffer for his church. And as we go through pain and trials and suffering for the church, we also partner with Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father and who continues to intercede for us. Let's carry on in our text. Verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3, he says, "So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. When you used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." Hallelujah. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Hallelujah. How we need to get rid of anger and division in this time. Amen? How we need to get rid of anger and division in this season. That tongue that is way too quick to talk. Those fingers that are way too quick to type. Where we judge without compassion. In a world where everyone is judged and hated. Where we live in the ever-present judgment between imagined classes, the haves and the have-nots. The world in which we live is effectively tearing itself apart. And we, the church, are called to be those who draw together. Amen? There is no longer slave nor free, Jew nor Gentile, vaxxed or unvaxxed, if we can go there, in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2 verses 16 to 19 says this, "So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or what you drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole thing together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it." A question. What is an angel? Well, an angel is either a heavenly being or a messenger from someone down the road. Both are messengers. When God shows up or an angel turns up, it's normally greeted. The normal first few words are, "Don't be afraid." But when an earthly messenger comes, it's, "Hi, how are you?" How we need to be careful not to worship the messengers in this world. Those who turn up at 1 p.m. or 4 p.m. How we need to be careful not to put them above God. Because we are the body of Christ. Yes, we listen and yes, we take on the advice and all those other things. But we are not to worship angels. Amen. We worship Jesus Christ. The one who was crucified and who lives in us. See, Paul labels those who seek to condemn through religious observance and the rules of man with opinions and self-righteous rhetoric. He calls them those who through pride and the worship of angels are now sinful with sinful minds. He says their minds have been taken over by ungodly things. And so he again reinforces the importance of having roots that are growing down into God's love. Roots that are growing down into God's love, and believers who, because of Christ in them, are not judging or are in turn being judged by the rocks of this world. Colossians 2, verses 23. "These rules may seem wise, because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires." My Bible tells me that his burden is easy and his yoke is light. That he has come that I may have life and life to the fullest. If only we were as passionate about sin as we may be about observing other rules in our world today. If only we were as passionate about prayer and seeking God as we are about following other rules and regulations. You see, we need to control our desires in this season. That desire to be right. That desire to always be accepted. The quickness of our tongue and our fingers, that desire to be heard and so validated in our self, in our own opinions. How we need to take control of that sinful need within us to always be right, to always be above someone else, to be better and to be seen to be doing the right thing. You see, because in the end, for those of us in Christ, all these things do not matter. It is our followership of Christ that matters. It is our observance of him, our now devotion to him, because he lives in us. Amen? Let's carry on in our text, verse 12. "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Hallelujah. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Can we do that right now? Can we lift our voices and just give him some thanks today? Can we give him the fruit of our lips? Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We glorify your name. We praise your wonderful name. Lord, for you alone are worthy. You alone are holy. You alone are righteous, God. Oh, precious Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. All the time, God is good. Another question, who's the oldest person here this morning? Graham, wow. Is there a grandma? Fantastic, where's my friend? There you are. Judith, right in the middle. Okay, I'm going to come over this side. You see, growing up, I remember going to spend time at my nana's house, my grandma's house. My grandma would live on Eastern Beach or Bucklands Beach up in Auckland. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
And what's your name again?
Judith.
Judith, how many grandchildren do you have, Judith?
Five.
Five grandchildren. See, I'm pretty sure many of us in this room would remember going to spend time with Grandma, with Nana, with Oma, Opa, whoever they're called. And there was always something special about going to Grandma's house. Now, it wasn't the odd smell that was around. Let's be honest. But I remember going to spend time at my grandma's house, and whenever we would turn up, even though we may be great-grandchildren or grandchildren, there is always a huge amount of love, amen? Even though you may see them only once or twice a term or in the weekends or whatever, there's always a great amount of love. And while we were the ones receiving the lollies and the biscuits and the chocolate without measure, Grandma always seemed to be more thankful and happy that we were there. Even though we're the ones receiving all the gifts, they were always more joyful, yeah? That's great. I remember staying overnight at Grandma's house. And there was something different about staying the overnight at Grandma's house. She'd have this really cool lamp beside the bed. And you'd touch it, and the lamp would turn on. And you'd touch it again, and it would go half light. And you'd touch it again, it would turn off. Who else spent half the time going? But I also remember when I'd stay the night at Grandma's house, there was something special about the bed. There, it wasn't the teddies and the toys on the bed or anything like that, but it was what was on the bed. It was one of these things that you make.
Yes, that's right.
A quilt. Next slide, please. You see, Paul. So see the Romanian writer Emil Corrin writes this. He says, "Love is an agreement on the part of two people to overestimate each other." When I'd go to Grandma's house, she would always overestimate me. She didn't know that I did bad things during the week. She didn't know that maybe I wasn't the most best behaved. She always overestimated me. She said, well, she didn't say, but she lived this out, that love is an agreement on the part of two people to overestimate each other. Next slide, please. But then Scott McKnight in his book, Pastor Paul, a really good title, by the way, carries on that quote and he says, without some overestimation, love in the patchwork quilt called the local church has little chance of success. We, as the body of Christ, are called to be those who always overestimate each other. That while we may not always be the same, like a quilt, we're all held together. We all make up the same quilt. Because this is us. But that's okay. And so we, like Nana's quilt, choosing always to overestimate each other, are stitched together to make the church. This represents us, the church. All different patches and panels of fabric held together by cotton that we cannot see. Yet it is there. It is God's love that holds us together. So we, like Nana's quilt, are stitched together to make the church. Jew and Gentile, young and old, vaxxed and unvaxxed, the clean and the unclean, the wise, the intelligent, and the slow. Because that's what he said in his text. You see, Colossians 3 verse 11 says this, in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. It doesn't matter. Those things are not important. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in us. We all make up the patchwork quilt together. We are held together with this cotton of God's love. You see, when I come to Christ, my ethnicity, my identity, my sexuality, my employment, my mental capacity, none of it is removed. Rather, it is the broken and sinful state that we find ourselves in that is washed clean and made new. How God intended us to be. Hallelujah. No longer Jew or Gentile, but Jews and Gentiles. No longer slave or free, but slaves and free. No longer male and female, but humanity restored and knitted together to make a thing of great beauty. Amen? You see, my ethnicity is not removed or replaced as if I ever had the wrong one. But rather, it is washed clean in the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Restored, sanctified, and made complete. We read in Revelation that John sees this great picture of people worshiping before Jesus. And he says, every tribe, nation, and tongue. How did he know? Well, firstly, they were all speaking their own language. They're all dressed differently. They all had different color skin. So my ethnicity, my culture is not removed. Rather, it is sanctified and made complete. My job or my employment, whether I am a slave or whether I am free, is not taken away from me when I come to Jesus. We all still pay taxes, amen? But my value and my importance, my identity is no longer found in what I do, but who I am in Christ Jesus. My intelligence, my brain is not replaced or removed. Well, some days my wife would say otherwise. But my intelligence and my brain, my mental capacity is not removed from me. Instead, I am transformed by the renewing of it. Amen? Harmful habits and pathways are rewired, washed clean in the blood of Christ, so that I am and I become a new creation, washed clean in the saving blood of Christ Jesus, restored, sanctified, and made complete. My personality and my intellect used for his glory. Whether I think I have a lot or if I think I have a little, it is all used for his glory. Because together we make up the patchwork quilt called the church. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 to 17, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. Maybe we used to know of God, but now we know God. We used to know of Jesus. Now we know Jesus. And because of that relationship, we are knitted together, no longer to view one another from a human standpoint, no longer to measure one another against one another, because God is our measure, but to look at each other through the eyes of Christ." Amen. He says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." The person beside you, behind you, in front of you is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Turn to them and remind them of that right now. You are a new creation. Shake them if they need to wake up a bit. You are a new creation. You are not replaced, but restored. New creation. Through Christ, instructed to no longer see as man sees, but to see as God sees. To look at each other as new creations, knitted together in the love of Christ for his glory and his purpose. This is the church in a COVID world. Colossians 3, verses 14 to 15, he says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." How we need to every day have that peace in our hearts. Amen? When you watch the news, when you drive down the street, the peace of God, may the peace of God fill your heart. "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Always be thankful. If all you have to thank God for is your salvation, then that is enough for all eternity. You see, ours is not to create unity and togetherness, like we could do a better job than God. Instead, ours is to maintain it. Ours is to look after the quilt, to care for one another, not to pull against the cotton, not to pull against one another and so divide the quilt. But ours is to maintain it. You see, Christ has done the knitting. It is up to us to stay together, to continually put on love and our new nature in Christ Jesus. To put on that tenderness, that mercy, that kindness, that humility, that gentleness, and the patience. To make allowance for each other's faults and to forgive anyone who offends you. But Lord, it's easier said than done. None of us have suffered like Christ suffers and continues to suffer for the church. How we need to put on love, how we need to put on that robe of righteousness. "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in all in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of the one body, you are called to live in peace." Ours is not to create unity and togetherness, but ours is to maintain it. Ours is not to pull against the different squares, but to draw closer. See, Paul writes in Ephesians 4, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Can I ask the team to come back for a minute? Not a church of many quilts, but a body of many parts. One quilt with many squares, the new and the old, the young and the older, male and female, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, the sick and the well, the healed and the healing, the struggling and the struggled, those who are overcoming and those who have overcome, all knitted together in the love of Christ Jesus, choosing to put on that new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Colossians 3, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, making allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. The goal in this season is not to be right or to be better, but to be like Christ, to maintain the unity of the quilt. We are to be clothed with gentleness, kindness, humility, and mercy. We are to forgive one another's faults and offenses as we clothe ourselves in love for one another, knowing that together we make up the patchwork quilt called the church. That is what it means to be the church in a COVID world, where we are a sign to them, where those who do not believe look on and go, how can you spend so much time together? How is it that you get on with each other? Well, it's Jesus who binds us together. How come you have all these different opinions, but you all still love each other? That's Christ in us. Can I ask us all to stand? And we're going to sing a song. And as we sing the song, I just want to ask us to go back to the 80s. Many of us remember the 80s. To a thing in the church that was okay for some but uncomfortable for others. And as we sing the song, I want you to make your way to the person beside you and just hold their hand. And we can sing the song together. You can move across the rows, that's fine. But can we do that as we sing the song together? Can we knit ourselves together as the body of Christ?